don't represent any district three.
Acolia Manigo.
Present, representing district four.
Jorge Velasco.
Good evening, present adult representative for district five.
And Tassian Kwamaleli, adult representing for district seven. So yes, that is our roll call and introductions. Again, welcome to Meg, and our youth member is not on yet, but hopefully when he joins, we'll give the opportunity for him to introduce himself as well. I don't think there are other announcements. We want to keep in mind, we know that tonight we may have a lot of public comment. So depending on the number of speakers, time may be allocated as such. So when the queue opens, we definitely would encourage those to raise their hands so that we can get you in the queue so you can speak. As you can see, the agenda is right in front of you, and we will be following this as it is printed. So we will move on to item number two, which is the adoption of the OSCY continuing resolution to continue conducting POC meetings by teleconference due to COVID-19. So this was shared and it was in the packet. So I'll give our committee members a chance to look over it. And if there are no amendments or questions, then we'll look to call for a motion to move forward.
This is Jorge Velasco. I motion to approve.
We have a second.
This is Bacoli. I second.
Thank you. And now we will call for the vote. And I again will just go down the roll. Bill Riley. Bill Riley, I think you're muted.
Yeah, I apologize. Yes.
Okay. Meg Evans.
Yes.
Peter Lay.
Yes.
Dwayne Davis.
Yes.
Anacrita Allen.
Yes.
Pacolia Manigo.
Yes.
Jorge Velasco.
Yes.
And then Tassian Kwamaleli. Yes. Got it. So that has been approved as such, and we will move forward, which I think at this time will be open forum. So at this time, I would encourage our public attendees to raise your hand. Now is the time for you to comment. To comment by Zoom video conference, you would need to raise your hand. So press the button to request to speak when it's time to, well, at this time, and then you will be unmuted during your turn and allowed to make public comments. After the allotted time, you will then be remuted. If you are on the phone, to raise your hand, if you would press *9 to request to speak, now that is time for public comment. So we will begin to, you will have a timer of 1 minute due to the potential number of speakers. Well, we see that they're raising, we'll give you another minute or two. Awesome. So I actually think due to the number of speakers, I believe we will be able to, you will be allotted 2 minutes to speak.
Yes. So right now, yeah. Seems like we have 17 hands raised.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it another minute to see how many speakers we get, because I see that the number is continuing to increase.
Yep.
I mean, we wanna make sure we are fair and equitable with the time that each person is given. Do we want to set a time that we're closing the queue for public comment?
Yes, we will close the queue in 15 minutes. So once we take the first commenter, we'll close the queue, and no more hands will be taken at that point.
Okay, so right now then, based on the number of hands that I see raised, we are going to start that each person is allotted 2 minutes to speak.
Yes.
Okay, so
I can manage this list.
Awesome. So we're going to start with the first public comment. Remember, you will be unmuted. You will be given 2 minutes to speak, and then you will be remuted. So the first person I see on our list is Gabrielle Garcia.
And Caitlin, can you reset the timer to 2 minutes?
Yes.
Sorry, right now I see 1 minute.
Awesome. So right. Gab, Gabriel or Gabriel Garcia, you are first.
Thank you and good evening, everybody. My name is Gabriel Garcia. I'm the Policy and Advocacy Director for Youth Alive. And I just wanted to call to share my appreciation for OFCY, not only making violence prevention a center point of the strategy for funding youth programs this year, but for increasing our ability to reach more students. Because we do violence prevention services in Oakland, which we know are greatly needed, a question we get a lot is, why is our program Teens on Target only at two schools? And in this year's proposal, we were really intentional about wanting to expand to a third school to meet the demand for our services. And with the plan that was released to meet our request, we will now be able to expand, hopefully within the next few months, to Skyline High School. So again, just wanted to call to share my appreciation. As we all know, violence continues to be a huge problem and a priority to create public safety here in Oakland. And we're grateful to be a part of the solution, but especially with the support from OFCY, again, intentionally moving to Skyline High School is something that we are really excited to be able to do. So thank you again for everybody who works on this. And again, for making violence prevention a center point of the strategy for funding youth programs out here in Oakland. Thank you.
Thank you. And before we move to the next one, I just wanted to flag that the queue will close at 6:27, just so that we are aware. The next person on our list is Stephanie Parrott. You are unmuted, so please start your 2 minutes.
Good evening, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, my name is Stephanie Parrott. I'm a West Oakland resident. Your volume is on and creating feedback. Sorry. I'm a parent of a child participating in the Oakland Lacrosse Club. And as someone who didn't really know anything about lacrosse before my child discovered it at West Oakland Middle School, I have to say I'm just blown away by the programming that OLC offers students in Oakland, in West Oakland, and all of Oakland. It's really impressive to see a program go specifically to the middle schools in Oakland and recruit young children and provide them with this amazing opportunity, not just in athletics, but also how they approach children for whole life. And so they assign coaches to work with the students on their academics. They do programming where healthy eating and all kinds of stuff that's just really, really impressive. And our kids need this programming, and it is precisely the kind of thing that we would like to see you support. So I'm asking that you reconsider and please fund OLC so that it can continue to do the great work to reach out to the kids of Oakland who need this type of programming. It's really helpful and special. Thank you.
Thank you. Next on our list is Asada Olubala. You are now unmuted.
Yes, I'm coming to this meeting like I come to most meetings, trying to identify why African-American children are not getting as much attention as others. I read your report that's supposed to be an equity analysis, the OFCY Community of Needs Assessment and Racial Equity. Page 8 of 96 pages. Gentrification affects communities of color, most significantly Black, African-American, Latino, and Native American population. That is not true. Gentrification only affects one group in this city. That's African-Americans. The fact that you would put that kind of data in there makes me realize that you are probably trying to undermine the identification of the needs of African-Americans. Since 2010, the African-American population in this city has decreased. It was in 2020, 23% from 28%. Now, last week, it's down to 20%. Every other race and ethnic group since 2010 has grown. If other people are being pushed out, they're being replaced with light people. That's not happening with African Americans. Please don't insult me again tonight, as I get in every meeting, about this thing about people of color. In order to identify what's going on with African Americans, you have to specify each race or ethnic group and where they fall in line. I'll be listening tonight. I noticed that in your report, you have the disproportionately affected groups that are getting money, and not one group is identified as a group that is African-Americans that's getting funded tonight. Shame on you. I'll be monitoring and looking at, and if this comes from Human Services with Sarah Bethlett, I know we got problems, how she's done that late narrative tiny homes for homeless.
Thank you for your comments. Your 2 minutes is now up. The next person I see on our list is Mush. You are now being promoted and unmuted, and your 2 minutes begins.
If you could state your name for the record, that'd be great.
Yes,
my name is Michelle Mush Lee. Thank you to the OFCY committee. I'm the executive director of an organization called Youth Speaks. And while we didn't receive a grant, I did want to take a moment to jump on the call and just kind of thank the committee. I know it's not a easy job to kind of take a finite amount of funds and distribute it as equitably as possible across all the different needs and amazing ideas that a lot of the Oakland artists, youth workers, and service providers have. I did want to address something that's interesting, which is, you know, an organization, and I've done, you know, I served as a cultural strategist with the Human Services Department. So I know the importance of trauma-informed work that the department has undergone over the last few years under Stephanie Montgomery and Sarah Bedford's work. You know, an organization like ours that's our address is outside of the city of Oakland, but we have invested resources over $500,000 in Oakland youth over the last, you know, we've been around for 25 years, but for at least the last 15 years, specifically as in our arts and education work and our Life is Living West Oakland Festival. You know, I wonder, you know, what considerations are made for organizations that serve Oakland youth whose addresses may not reflect the city of Oakland. But again, our resources are here and we've been deeply rooted in our program and direct services for over a decade. And so I honor and I've taken a look at the grantee list and everyone is frankly amazing. And we've had the great privilege of partnering with a lot of these organizations like Youth Alive. I know that was somebody on the call, but just something to flag and wonder how we kind of make room for those organizations and practitioners as well.
Thank you for your comment. Next, we have Catalina Carriaga. Your 2 minutes can begin.
Hello, my name is Catalina Carriaga Nakamura. I'm a parent. I'm an Oakland lacrosse kid. I've been on the board. Actually, let's go back. Getting excited here. I wanted to advocate on behalf of Oakland Lacrosse Club application. I'm a past parent of an Oakland lacrosse player. My son Leo, who played lacrosse at Oakland Tech and graduated in 2016. He completed his BS degree at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. He served as a volunteer coach at clinics. I've been on the board and I've seen how Oakland Lacrosse works with kids directly. We're introducing lacrosse to 13 different schools in a very unlike program in terms of providing kids nutrition, mentoring academically, extracurricular activities in the game of lacrosse, field trips, summer camps, and clinics. And it's an all-inclusive program. So you won't see our kids drinking sugary drinks at practice or at games. They'll be drinking water. They'll be eating fruit. They'll be eating sandwiches that are healthy. They'll be getting mentoring from students who will talk to them about improving their reading skills, going to college, working out a plan in a way to get to a community college and a college. So it's an all-inclusive, holistic program that incorporates health, well-being, and academics, and good, clean, safe, fun that includes family and parents. Please, it's a great multicultural group. Invest in Oakland Lacrosse. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Next, I have April Haynes.
Hello, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Hi, I'm April Haynes and I have Capri Hall here with us.
Hello.
We're here to ask, we live in West Oakland and we would like to say hello to all the committee members. We're here to ask to reconsider distributing funds to OLC. Capri started with OLC in sixth grade and he is currently a ninth grader at Envision Academy. OLC has been a big part of our lives. OLC has offered him an opportunity and other students here in the Oakland community an opportunity like no other, not even Oakland Parks and Recs really, to be able to have a safe place to go and play a game, tutoring. My son's math skills went three levels above once he started with OLC. They offered him tutoring, they offered him healthy eating, they offered counseling. We do fundraising. They go out and take the kids places so that they can be able to see something more than just Oakland. It opens our eyes to more than just what's here in Oakland. You want to say something for me?
Reconsidering funds would be a huge benefit and door opening for us. It'd be super helpful. Not only would you just be giving money to the program, but to also the kids. It's for our jerseys, our sticks, and all of the things that are beneficial to us. It would be super helpful.
So we love OLC. The mentoring and the outreach that comes with Oakland Lacrosse is something that we don't get here in West Oakland at all. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Next, we have Allison Delgado Jovo.
Hello, my name is Allison Delgado and I'm Director of Family Resource Services at East Bay Agency for Children. And we are surprised and disappointed at not being recommended for funding for our Central Family Resource Center, which serves OUSD families and the OUSD in Oakland community. The economic impact of the pandemic has threatened the health and well-being of families across the city and is particularly consequential for Oakland's young children and youth ages 18 and under. Our parents have reported coping with the pandemic's economic impacts by cutting back, spending on food and other necessities, going into debt, or just going without. Families need someone who can work with them more personally to navigate systems and access available resources to stabilize family finances, promote child well-being, and maintain housing. Through our unique partnership with OUSD and Alameda County, we're able to do that in English, Spanish, and MUM. Without OFCY funding, we won't be able to leverage other contracts, and so we won't be able to provide case management and family education programming that families were counting on. OFCY funding is a critical resource and provides the very best in services and programming. And we have appreciated your support over the last 3 years and your ongoing support in other programs, but ask that you consider at least partially funding this valuable resource that is there for all Oakland residents, especially when parents are struggling the most. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Before we go to the next person, I wanted to point out that the queue will close at 6:27. So if you have not, now is the time to raise your hand. If you're on the phone and you want to speak, please press *9. And now at this time, we will move forward with AHC Oakland. When you begin to speak, can you please just state your name for the record?
Yes, good evening. My name is Phyllis Hall. I'm the program director for AHC Oakland, Attitudinal Healing Connection, now the Center for Art Esteem. And I wanted to come on board and thank the committee for their diligence and their hard work in this process. It's not easy. It's a competitive process, and I can't imagine being in your shoes, to be honest. But I do want to thank you on behalf of our agency. Because of your funding support, we're able to broaden our reach throughout the city of Oakland. It's been our desire for years to do that. We have been providing services in West Oakland, but we've been tiptoeing into East Oakland, and now we can offer this same level of service to schools, to families, to programming in East Oakland. And so we really appreciate that because we really believe that the work we do in the area of visual arts, cultural arts, and environmental studies is huge and impacts the day-to-day existence of the students we hope to serve. It is their future that we're hoping to contribute to and to help build. And when decisions like this, it allows us to do this type of work. And we've been doing it for a minute, and we appreciate the continued support and belief that this is valuable. It's not just a simple program, it's a very in-depth program. And we want to create a strong student voice so that they can advocate for the things that affect their future. So we really appreciate your support because every decision you make, every program you funded is really about how you build the future of Oakland. And because you're making these kind of decisions, again, tough calls. I feel my heart aches when I hear the other folks coming online, but you're building the future of Oakland and you're making good decisions about how you want our students to live, how you want our families to grow, and how you want the city to be reflected on the state level. Thank you.
Thank you. And we'll say the queue is now closed. Scott, if you just take a note of that last person that is on the list. So okay. Next we have
the last person.
Yep. Next, the next person we have is caller ending in 7607. You are unmuted.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, good evening. So my name is Latia Gilbert, and I'm not only a current Oakland Lacrosse board member, I also have the honor of being a parent of a current player who is actually getting ready to graduate high school next week. But tonight, I would like to speak to you from my parent perspective. So my time with the program began when my daughter was in the sixth grade. So throughout both her middle and high school journey, she has reaped the benefits of this wonderful program. And going back to when she was transitioning from middle school to high school, there was only one high school girl team, which was at Oakland Tech. And she did not initially get into that school. So we were having to face the possibility of her not being able to continue with a game that she had grown to love. However, fast forward to present day, and Oakland Lacrosse has been able to successfully expand to three other high schools. And this is only made possible with support and, most importantly, funds for the program to continue to be able to be a success for our Oakland youth. And while the program is focused on the game of lacrosse, it is so much more than that. The impact of the program goes beyond the field, from job opportunities for our high school students, SAT prep, college counseling, participation on a youth leadership board, and so much more. And all these things are made possible and offered without a cost to our students. And my daughter took advantage of them all. So the impact of Oakland Lacrosse was well documented and reflected in her college applications. It's a program that's providing tools and resources to support the students and help prepare them for the next phases of their lives, skills they'll be able to carry with them well into the future. And as a parent, I am forever grateful for this program. And that is why I'll continue my support of Oakland Lacrosse well beyond her graduating from Oakland Unified School District. And I request or ask that you reconsider your support for Oakland Lacrosse as it relates to funding.
Thank you for your comment. Next, we have John Tran. You are now being unmuted.
Hey, folks, you guys can hear me?
Yes, we can.
This is John Tran from the East Bay Agent Youth Center with EBACE. I understand that this summer, EBACE didn't get the funding that it needed for our summer program. So with that being said, I'm just trying to ask for some help. So we're trying to get 200 kids outdoors. We're trying to get those 200 kids to understand the benefit of being outdoor, whether it's biking, swimming, hiking, reading a map, starting a fire, cooking, breaking bread. And we're also trying to get 20 of our youth that is now transitional out of high school that don't want to continue a traditional four-year college, but yet they want to consider maybe looking into the recreation department. And I'm trying to figure out how can you basically do this? What other resources can OFCY provide to help us? Now, if OFCY had made the decision about giving money to other agencies that's doing the outdoor program, that's great. I totally get it. But as of right now with the researchers that I have done, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know if anybody right now in the East Bay is really pushing the numbers that Ibasi is pushing with the diversity of staff that we have in hand to do this work. So I'm begging, can OFCY help Ibasi fund this program so we can get these kids, these staffs outdoors to enjoy the wildlife, the open space, and the healing process that our kids has been through the last 2.5 years. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Next, we have Rainey Ath. You are unmuted.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
So first off, like others, thank you for your time and commitment to serving Oakland youth. My name is Rani Ath. I am a managing director of the East Bay Asian Youth Center, EBACI, of the SHOT 55 Wellness Center and Expanded Learning Program at Oakland High School. EBACI's been a long partner and strong partner of Oakland High for the past 15 years. Oakland High has 1,500 students. It's racially diverse, a third African-American, a third Latinx, a third Asian. The free reduced lunch rate is 87.7%. 55.5% of our students live outside of the Oakland High neighborhood. So we get students from all over Oakland, from East Oakland and West Oakland. And I just wanted to turn your attention to page 11 of the recommended funding. There's a list of schools in Oakland with 5 or more OCY funded programs for next year. And Oakland High is the only largest comprehensive high school in Oakland that is not included on that list. So would request you and your team to take a look at that and to ensure whether or not resources are distributed equitably. EBACI had put in a proposal for the high school and post-secondary student success to fund a program called SHOT 55 to fund us to build out our peer-to-peer mentorship program where we want to bring on 62 youth employees. And this is not just our proposal, it's the proposal of our Oakland High students. We surveyed them back in November. Over 600 students responded and say we want some mental, emotional health, academic support, jobs, and internships, whether it's done by peers or adults. And so this is for them. And the reality is individual therapy is highly impacted, is difficult to access, whether it's insurance, but reliable device is not culturally aligned. And so we want to build out a peer-to-peer mentorship program where students could create their spaces for each other so they could connect, heal, support each other, and bring joy. So I hope you reconsider.
Thank you. Next, we have Ray. Ray, when you come on, if you can please state your full name for the record.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so my name is Ray Cole. I'm a senior at McComas High School. And so basically, SPAT has helped me. Well, the people in SPAT, Michael Peters, Harold Hendricks, Peterson, Denzel Johnson, and Miss Kitty, that helped me become a better student. Because like transitioning from, because I wasn't originally from Oakland, I went to Berkeley School. So making that transition, I didn't know anybody here. And so it just made it easier for them because they helped me stay focused, and being a part of SPAT program was a huge difference in my life because I was able to keep going. And like, I felt like at the support system I needed at McClamis High School, and it was always there. And they're still there even as I'm closing out my final moments at McClamis High School. Hello?
Yeah, are you still speaking? You still have a minute left of your time.
So I would say the SPAT program is like, it's like a family. And like, if I feel like we should support the SPAT program, like expand it more throughout all OUSD and make it a bigger part of the community. And yeah, that's it.
Thank you for your comment. Next we have Boone Kamnwan. Please forgive me for mispronouncing your name. You now have 2 minutes.
Thank you. You say pretty close. It's actually Boone Kamnwan. I am the associate director of the East Bay Consortium. And I just wanted to call in to appreciate the OFCY for funding our academic program, the summer program, the pre-learning kind of program for the past 3 summers. And we also been recommended for another three years. And it's great that some of the students right now with the whole pandemic is going on, they are right behind with academic. So we are providing that academic support during the summer, not only during the summer, but during the school year as well. These students do get a college student mentor, take them on field trips, but during the pandemic, they're doing like virtual field trip, doing Zoom, you know, to connect with the students. You know, these are middle rising seventh through 12th grade that is in the program. And a little bit about the summer program. During the summer, the students, this coming summer, they're going to have an opportunity to go and visit colleges and different companies that they haven't done, like in terms of like Google, Facebook, and like Port of Oakland, even some of the training centers. So we realize that some of the students, they not necessarily all want to go to college or college not for them, but we promote all form of post-secondary education, looking at, you know, like career technical education as well. So really want to call in to appreciate the OPCY and the that they've been providing the support for us for the past 3 years and also continue support. Definitely some of our students coming back. Right now, we actually have a student that have been gone to a program. He will be teaching in our summer program this coming summer as a teacher. So we have two former students who are going to be teaching in Oakland. So we are building our own, our program is building our own, educators, teachers, and counselors. We do have about 3 to 4 counselors in Oakland Unified right now that have gone through the program. So definitely wanted to call out there and thank you for the continued support. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Allison Alouche. You are now unmuted.
Hi, yes, thank you, Allison Alouche. Again, a huge thank you to the committee for all the work that you do for Oakland and taking the time tonight to really listen so attentively to the community. I'm the current director of operations for Oakland Lacrosse Club. And I started out 9 years ago as a coach and have done pretty much everything from OLC since then. And this is the first year OLC has applied for funding. While we're not in the final round, you know, we're all hoping here that you will reconsider. This grant will really allow us to build on our work in East Oakland. I think in all the holistic support that you, holistic support you've already heard tonight from our parents, what I really want to highlight today is that our Leading with the Girls initiative. We are working in a collaboration with Oakland Unified and the Oakland Athletic League to build out an 8-team varsity women's lacrosse league and are currently wrapping up a season with Tech, Oakland High, Skyline, and Castlemont. We're really intentional about leading with the girls because we know that when you invest in girls and young women, you're investing in their entire families and network. And when you build networks around young women, it helps the entire community thrive. Lacrosse is just our hook. As you heard, we do a lot more than just that, but it's also a really beautiful sport. It's actually the oldest sport in North America. It was created by indigenous tribes. We hope to bring back a lot of that sacred play and community that is so fundamental in the sport itself. We know that with a grant like this, we would not only be able to build on our work in East Oakland, but really put in really pivotal supports, which are people, into those communities, from those communities to help us build up this program, these young women and everyone around them. So we really hope you'll reconsider. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next we have Lauren McDaniels followed by Kevin Kelly. So Lauren, your time is starting now.
Hi, so I would like to speak on SPAT. Yep. and how much they've helped me. I've been in SPAT since I was in about the 6th grade, and I know many other people, and they've helped me along the way with, like, my college journey. I'll be a senior next year, and they have helped me really just put things into perspective of what it's like to be a student and an athlete. I know how important it is to be a student, to be an athlete, because I'm a cheerleader, as well as I'm a student. I have to keep my grades up, because, of course, your academics comes first, and then your athletics. And they have really helped me grow as a person. And many of my friends, many of the other people that I know who are part of SPAT are going to colleges. For example, one of my friends, she's going to Howard. And I just know multiple people that it's helped and myself. And I would love for it to help my little siblings or anybody coming after me. And it's just a very important program that helps in growth. And just an amazing organization overall. And I've learned so much from it, got so many experiences because I want to be a sports medicine doctor, and they've given me opportunities for that. And we've had to have events where we have to dress up and really show us a different world in our community. So I just want to say I appreciate SPAT overall, and it's really an amazing organization, and it has done so much for me.
Thank you. Next, we have Kevin Kelly, followed by Christopher Martinez. Kevin, your 2 minutes has started.
And you can hear me okay?
Yes.
So Kevin Kelly, Executive Director for the Oakland Lacrosse Club. And just want to reiterate what many have said tonight. Just thank you to the commission. I know it's a lot of volunteer work. I know it's a lot of hours, and it's hard decisions. What I would just like to say is just Oakland La Crosse, we're 9 years old. And I just want to point out our partnerships. We're partnered with 13 Oakland public schools. With this grant expansion, we would be able to partner with 5 more schools. Second, we're partnered with Parks and Rec. Each summer, we have 20 of our high school players get paid to introduce lacrosse to elementary school students across the city. And then third, we're partnered with Laney College, which is our current home base. So when kids enter into our program, they get to be on a college campus. Many of our youth end up at dual enrollment at Laney College, and many more end up attending Laney College after just being on that campus for 6 years in our program. So all the dollars that get invested in Oakland Lacrosse are going back to the children, going back to the youth in the city, along with the major public education institutions between Parks and Rec, the school district, and Laney College in the Peralta district. I know in like looking at, you know, the under Section 7, all the organizations that receive funding, they're all incredibly strong organizations doing good work. We just would like you to reconsider this decision and open it up to more groups and include Oakland Lacrosse in that. And again, thank you for your time. And have a good evening.
Thank you. And I just wanted to flag for Mike and Scott that 2 additional hands were raised after the queue time. So I guess when we get there, you can let me know how we will address those. But next we have Christopher Martinez, followed by Tom Lyman, and then it will be Veronica Liu. So Christopher, your 2 minutes have started. Christopher, you're unmuted.
Sorry about that. Thank you so much. Yes, my name is Christopher Martinez, and I am the executive director of the East Bay Spanish-Speaking Citizens Foundation. I also would like to thank you for convening tonight's meeting, and especially to the Ad Hoc Review Subcommittee for all your hard work in reviewing the proposals submitted and having the difficult task of narrowing down the qualified proposals to those 135 that are recommended for funding tonight. My hope was to have seen Spanish-Speaking Citizens Foundation and the Libre program on this list. We are among the few programs supporting newcomer youth in our community, and one of the programs where the youth can see themselves reflected in our team. Our staff were also newcomers themselves and all former participants in the program and serve as role models for the newcomers. As well as working directly with the youth, most of our staff are also attending a 4-year university, pursuing careers in art, nursing, computer science and technology, and chemistry. In fact, one of our former youth is graduating this weekend from college. These youth would share with you that they would not be where they are today if not for the Libre program. We provided services during the pandemic through learning pods and support for the youth and their families. Our youth come from 3 Oakland high schools. We created a safe space for youth to meet. They consistently share that Libre is a place for them to be themselves. My job as executive director, I'm looking for ways that we can serve more youth with innovative programming and provide the staff with opportunities for training and development so they can continue to grow as leaders in the community. We have many plans for future program development and sustainability, and we need OFCY to be our partner in this. So as you continue to do your reviews and considering any additional funding that may be available, I ask the POC to consider funding the Libre program of Spanish-Speaking Citizens Foundation. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next, we have Tom Lyman. You are now being unmuted, or unmute yourself and begin.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for your service. And I sympathize with the challenges you have before you this evening. There are many worthy organizations that are in need of these limited resources. You've already heard from several parents, players, staff, and community members regarding the impact Oakland Lacrosse is making in the lives of young people. I have served on the board of Oakland Lacrosse since 2019. I was born and raised in East Oakland and currently live near Manzanita School. As a teenager, I grew up in the Castlemont School District, but attended Skyline High School, where I was able to play lacrosse and played on a state championship lacrosse team at Skyline and also played in college. Playing lacrosse as an Oakland teenager, we competed against some of the most elite schools in California and beat them. The exposure to other schools and communities that are well-resourced gave us the confidence to compete against anyone and help change the mindset of so many young people. Having the opportunity to play this non-traditional competitive sport changed my life, which is why I have been so committed to helping OLC grow and support Oakland youth, particularly the Oakland youth that reside in the flatlands of Oakland, who might not otherwise have access to the sport. As mentioned by another parent, there is no charge to the student to participate in Oakland lacrosse. You heard from our program director, Allison Alouche, the culture that OLC leadership has created and the support they offer to the participants is truly exceptional. I encourage you to please reconsider your recommendation to support OLC. Thank you.
Thank you. And our next person to speak is Veronica Liu. Please unmute yourself.
Hello, can you hear me well?
Yes.
All right. Hello, everybody. My name is Veronica Liu. I'm currently an undergraduate at UC San Diego, and I've been an Oakland Lacrosse Club for 7 years. I want to ask the board to think about funding Oakland Lacrosse Club in the future and talk a little bit about myself. So when I was in middle school, I went to Westlake Middle School. Oakland Lacrosse Club is something I joined for fun, but soon became something that became a big part of my life, right? I was fed, I was tutored, I was given rides from and to home, from practices. It was honestly such a community for me that I felt supported, and like, I didn't have to pay for anything either. We had these $80 sticks, we had food that costed money, we had rides that cost gas. And it honestly, not having the burden of having to pay anything because of the fact that, you know, the nonprofit cared about the kids and really wanted us to succeed made me really want to stay in the program. And I just want to say that with this funding, OLC can expand to 2,000 new students, bring in 160 students to the program and support them as well. And so I think I want to acknowledge that every program here is really doing the necessary work for Oakland youth. And I'm just here to shift the tides to OLC because it's really a community, is really something that deserves much more expansion and visibility for especially like kids in West Oakland, East Oakland, which is what we're trying to expand to. And the impact it's had on me, you know, I've had this program middle school since to college. They've given me a job. They fed me, gave me gear. All of these are such impactful on students, and we can reach more students if you decide to fund OLC.
Thank you for your comment. I'm going to say the next three is Gloria Olvera, Ife Waugh, and Keyshawn Ward. Gloria, you can unmute yourself and begin.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Well, first off, I want to say thank you for the open mic so we can all advocate for what we all believe is important for our community. My name is Gloria Olvera. I'm an alumni as well as Veronica. I played on the second year team of Oakland Lacrosse, and I would love just to say that I'm here to advocate, of course. Oakland Lacrosse doesn't just focus on expanding the sport, but they expand it to underrepresented communities, of course, like people of color. And the sport is very underrepresented with people of color. I sometimes only saw myself, who was a Latina, on the field. But other than that, I'm already an adult and I'm in college right now at community college, they still continue to support me. If it wasn't for Oakland Lacrosse reaching out constantly, I wouldn't be able to say that now I'm planning to go to UC Berkeley. Coach Kelly, I call him Coach Kelly because even after all these years, he is such a great mentor. He reached out for me, Kevin Kelly, and he was like, do you need help with the applications or whatsoever? And he said, here, we're here to help you. And I can say that they will continue to support even after you graduate, even after you finish the programs, because they genuinely care about bringing stuff for the community, not only the sport, but support mentally, academically. And all I can say is that if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be the person who I'm today. So I'm here to advocate. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for your comment. Next is Ife Waugh. Please unmute yourself. Ife.
I'm here. Sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Sorry about that. My name is Ife Wall, and I'm advocating for Oakland Lacrosse. I'm the parent of two OLC children. I have one that's been in the program for 3 years. He's getting ready to go to high school, and one first season sixth grader. I'll say my sixth grader, who's a girl, she debated joining the team, and she had a lot of trauma coming into middle school, but this program has benefited her positively, especially with her coach, Erin, and help her boost confidence and the ability to deal with some of the middle school trauma that girls face. This program is positive for not only youth in Oakland, but particularly youth of color who may not have opportunities to play an awesome up and coming competitive sport. Many of the OLC youth have and continue to obtain scholarships to college to play lacrosse. Also, one thing as a parent I appreciate is the OLC makes sure youth has transportation to practice in the games. And of course, yes, they teach nutrition and help with academics. They also teach teamwork, positivity, and the leaders are invested in the youth and communication of the parents. The communication to the parents is phenomenal. I know the program wants to expand and reach to underserved youth in other areas of Oakland. And as a personal taxpayer in Oakland, I want funding to go to something positive that pours back into the community. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, we have Keyshawn Ward. Your 2 minutes can now begin. So please unmute yourself. Oh, and his hand has gone down. Okay, so we will move for the next three. Also, I want to tell Keyshawn, hi, you've been elevated, I guess, to a panelist. So please unmute yourself and you have 2 minutes to speak.
Hi, can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Okay, hi, my name is Keyshawn Ward. I would like to thank the board and the committee. I am here to represent Kinship Youth Summer Program. I'm here because it has helped me become a leader. It has helped me become who I am today. I go to San Leandro High School, but I have been attending the program ever since I was 8 years old, and I'm 16 years old, going on 17. And the program has really helped me with building connections, making friends, going on field trips like to San Francisco, just certain stuff that I'll be able to learn. I've also learned how to make like a solar panel. Like I've been like learned how to make it and make my own food. I have learned how to do all bunch of things, and it has helped me in leadership skills and working with other people and working together. This organization is a really great program, and I would love to encourage others to join this program. It has been needed for this community a long time. I love continue to go, and I will be continue to go if this program gets funded. And I just want to thank you for your time. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. The next three, Scott, I'm just going to flag, Stephanie Parrott has already, she spoke earlier at the top of the meeting. So the three I'm going to say next will be Tiago Robinson, followed by Eric Aliman, and then Lucia Perez Loera. So Tiago, you are now being, please unmute yourself. You have 2 minutes.
Hello, can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. First of all, I want to say, Dr. Riley, how you doing? It's great seeing you on here. And this to the OFCY, thank you very much for what you do to Oakland and continue to do for Oakland. So I noticed that AAMA, African American Male Achievement, it received funding. And just trying to see if you can reconsider of giving the funding to AAMA, Office of Equity and OUSD. We have been serving OUSD for the last 11 years. And just, you know, during the pandemic, we were able to have our own dual enrollment when we had 30 kids to take Counseling 57 at Merritt College dual enrollment for college credit. And also just this year, man, we're sending kids to Howard, Hampton, and Morehouse. This is some of the colleges: New Mexico State, West Oregon, San Jose State, Cal State. We're sending a lot of kids to college and getting them also jobs. So just want to see if you can reconsider of giving funding to Office of Equity, AAMA. Again, thank you for all the work that you do and continue to show love to Oakland. So thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Eric Aliman. When available, please unmute yourself and you have 2 minutes.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Eric Aliman. I'm the after-school program coordinator at the American Indian Child Resource Center. So I just wanted to take the time to thank the committee for their decision to continue to fund our program. I can only imagine how difficult this decision was, just given, you know, the pandemic and everything that's kind of gone on around that. And so I want to thank you all, because this is a community, the Native American community, is often a forgotten in the city of Oakland, sometimes not even showing up on data. And so it's really important for the youth to have, a center for which they can kind of get together and have cultural programming that really speaks to them. So again, I want to thank you all and understand how difficult this decision, especially this funding cycle, has been. And so, thank you.
Thank you. Next, we have Lucia Perez Loera. Please unmute yourself and begin.
Hi, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Hi, my name is Lucia. I'm here representing Oakland Tribe. I want to thank you for the recommendation for us to get money for a youth internship. Unfortunately, we didn't get our summer camp, which we also do. We run out of San Antonio Park, and over 200 students for a few weeks. But I just want to thank you for what you're doing. It's our first time getting funding from you, and we really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Now, the last hand raised before the queue was closed was Harold Pearson. And then once after Harold speaks, we can discuss if we're allowed the others to speak, maybe at a shorter amount of time. So Harold Pearson, you now have 2 minutes. Please unmute yourself.
Good evening. My name is Harold Pearson. I'm the CEO of SPAT, Student Program for Academic and Athletic Transitioning. Just want to thank the OSCY committees and the staff for taking the time and supporting our young people and supporting our organizations. It's a lot of work, a lot of tough decisions, so I definitely understand that. I'm here to speak and advocate for our staff and our academic coaches and college advisors, really creating a family environment and really creating hope for student athletes off of the field. Offering internships, college support, college opportunities, job opportunities, and our staff serving as those academic advocates to make sure our students receive the education that they need. Our African-American students, specifically our students of color, Latino students. And so we provide any support, and we want to continue to provide that support. We do thank you and appreciate the support as our lead agency at McClimates. And we still want to support our other sites across the district and our other student athletes that somehow get fall through the cracks. And so we ask you to reconsider and supporting our expansion throughout the city. And thank you for your consideration.
Okay, thank you. So we have three additional hands. I believe we definitely should take this public comment, but would recommend, since they were raised after the queue time, that they maybe are allotted 1 minute mic, but I will leave it to you.
I'll agree with you, Cassian, yes.
Okay, so I will call these three. You will be given 1 minute to speak. And so the first one is LaAvery, followed by phone caller ending in 1139. And then our final speaker will be Donna Moore. So LaAvery, please unmute yourself and please state your full name for the record.
Hi, I'm LaAvery Smith. I go to McClimates High School. I'm a cheerleader at McClimates. I'm a part of the SPAT program at McLean's. I think you guys should fund the money to keep our programs for the girls going strong. With SPAT, I received tutoring and participate with the Sister to Sister program, which taught me a lot, like to how to have self-esteem and have good confidence. Also with the McLean's Netflix program that we're participating with them, they taught me a lot about legal laws that I did not know about that is going on with our community or throughout our community or throughout the city. And I can say about SPAT, they really helped me. Like when I came to McLean's, I didn't really know much and my grades was like bad throughout my ninth grade all the way up to 11th grade. And SPAT really helped me because I was getting tutoring and getting help with work that teachers wasn't really helping me with. So I think that donating to them would be a good thing, especially for the sports team.
Thank you for your comment. Your time has run out. Next, we'll have caller ended in 1139. Please unmute yourself by pressing, please unmute yourself. And I forgot how to tell you to do that. It's not star 9, is it?
It might be star 6.
Star 6, yeah, it is star 6. If you can press star 6 to unmute yourself, caller, ending in 1139. Okay, we will come back to you. Well, let's go to Donna Moore. Please unmute yourself. You have 1 minute.
Good evening. This is Donna Moore from Family Support Services with the Kinship Program. And I first want to say thank you to the committee for your appreciation. I appreciate you having the task of having to look at all the programs and all the proposals and making your decisions. I would like for you, or my request is that you reconsider funding for the Kinship Summer Youth Program. We've received funding before. This time we were waitlisted. And one of the things that I wanted to point out that 4% of the funding is going to summer programs where our youth will have 100% of their time free. And so definitely want to encourage to looking at summer programs at a higher percentage. Our program does provide academics, enrichment programs, and exposing our children to the resources here in our backyard. So again, please reconsider for the Kinship Summer Program. Thank you.
Thank you. And I do not see a caller in 1139 have raised their hands. So at that time, the public comment is now closed. I see a participant just raised their hands, but that is more than nearly 35 minutes after the queue closed, unless we want to take them. Nope. Okay. Yeah, sorry, but the queue closed at 6:27, so we will have to move forward with the meeting. And so our next item on the agenda is approval of the prior meeting minutes from March 2nd. Well, first, let me say thank you to all those that spoke on public comment. We appreciate everything that you've stated, and we thank you for commenting and hope that you continue to stay on this call as we move forward in the agenda. And so now we will move to the approval of the prior meeting minutes from March 2nd. Committee members, assuming that we have all reviewed these prior to tonight's meeting, we'll look to for a motion to accept those or note any amendments that need to be mentioned.
This is Bill Riley. I've read the minutes and I move approval.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
I second that.
All righty. And so we will call for a vote. And I'll just go down the roll. Bill Riley.
Aye.
Meg Evans.
Abstain since I wasn't here.
Got it. Peter Lay.
Approve.
Anna Carita.
Alan,
yes.
Yes. Sorry, I'm having some tech issues, but I just wanted to note that the committee members present, my name is in both present and absent. I was not present on March 2nd and wanted to make that note.
Okay, Okay, noted. And so, yeah, so it'll be noted that it needs to be updated that Pacolia Manico was not in attendance. So her name is noted, is listed twice. Thank you for
that. With that change.
Got it. It is recorded. And then just to continue on, Jorge Velasco.
Yes.
Okay. And then Tassian Kwamalili, yes, with the note that Pacolia name is it's mentioned twice in the minute. So those will move accordingly with the noted amendment. And yeah, and so now we will move forward on our agenda for our next item, which is the projection of funds available for grants for FY22-23. And so I will turn it over to staff now to lead this portion of our meeting.
Thank you, Tassian. Mike Wetzel, I'm the acting manager for the Children's Youth Services Division. Provide a brief overview of the funds available for OFCY. Accompanying the memo, which is found on page 9 of the meeting packet. OFCY was established by a voter-approved initiative and has been reauthorized twice, most recently in March 2020. The legislation that enables OFCY is part of the Oakland City Charter. And it states that Oakland Fund for Children and Youth shall receive revenues in the amount equal to 3% of the city's unrestricted annual unrestricted general purpose fund. And this money is to be used for OFCY's grant making and administration. Based on the projections from the city's budget office that were available after the Q2 revenue projections from this current year, the city was projecting approximately $663 million in the city's general purpose fund. 3% of that money is equal to $19,899,632. The legislation goes on to state that no less than 90% of the monies in the fund shall be used to pay for eligible services for children and youth, and that no more than 10% of the money will be used for independent third-party evaluation, strategic planning, grant making, grant management, training and technical assistance, communication and outreach. So with that, 90% of the projected $19.899 million is equal to $17,909,669. And that is the amount of funding that is available for grant awards in the next fiscal year. In addition to the projection that the legislation does provide for the fact that the projected revenue is never equal to the actual revenue, and that there's a process for the city to adjust the money that's set aside depending on whether the actual unrestricted general purpose fund revenues are greater than the estimate. At this time, the funding available for OFCY for the general purpose fund is only a projection. We do look to have a better update in mid-May. This says early May, we have not received it yet. We're hoping that in addition to the base funding that's available, and there may be an increase depending on if this funding could be realized by OFCY for 22-23, there are other dollars that may be available, such as carry forward funding from prior years and the true up between the actual revenue and the estimated revenue, as well as interest that is earned from the fund's unspent balance. At this time, we're trying to finalize the amounts, but I do have to say in prior funding cycle, OFCY did spend down the majority of carry forward funds for the prior year funding cycle. And the initial estimate that I received was that there's only 32,000 in carry forward funds available. The recommendation that we have is that once we are able to get a confirmation of the final funding that can be available for OFCY, that staff
recommends that there's a reconvening of our review committee to consider additional grant awards based on input from tonight, potentially successful appeals process, and potential direction from City Council. And with that, I would open it to the Planning Oversight Committee if there's any questions that they want to pose regarding funds available.
Do any members have any questions? I don't see any hands.
So just put it up. Okay.
Oh, you could have gone, Pagolia, since you had already begun speaking.
All right, sorry. I couldn't find my hand button. But Mike, if you could just clarify. So you're saying on the June 1st, in our June POC meeting, that's when we'll do the modified update around if there's any additional funding.
Yes, and what I'd recommend is that the review subcommittee reconvene for the week of May 23rd. Looking that they'd convene on 25th or 26th to be able to consider additional funding awards, and then bring that to the June 1st Planning Oversight Committee for adoption. We would be able to incorporate that into the staff report that's going to City Council for June 7th.
Noted. Ana Grita, you're muted.
Yes, I think Pecolia kind of stated, just to ask for clarification, because I think also some of the attendees may be useful to them as well. So when we have, so the subcommittee will reconvene, there are some fundings, there is funding that is available, or is it funding that may become available?
Currently there's, based on the revenue projection and the awards, recommended, there's $92,287 available. I'm working to get confirmation from the Human Services Department's fiscal team on the carry forward for prior years. The estimate that they provided was $36,000, not $32,000. Sorry, I misspoke earlier.
Okay.
And then additionally, there's interest earned from prior year. And that the rough estimate right now is $175,000. Combined, that would be about approximately $300,000 available for additional grant awards. The other piece that we're looking to get an update from the budget office is the projected general purpose fund for 22-23. And if there's an adjustment above that $663 million, because that could determine if there's additional funding for OFCY available. It isn't clear at this point that even if the fund revenues are projected to be higher, if it's a more of a rosy estimate of the city's financial situation, that additional funding would be able to be provided to OFCY for grant making in this year. Because it may be that it's provided as a true up in the next year for the revenue, and that the funds won't be in our budget until the following year for use for grant renewals or year two of funding. So I would need to provide to the subcommittee and the full committee on June 1st a better update on actual revenues that could be available for grants.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions from the committee members? Okay. Well, thank you, Mike, for that report. And now we will move to item number 6, which is to receive the funding recommendation from the POC Ad Hoc Review Subcommittee and approve recommendations for programs for FY 2022 to 2023. Before we begin, just so that it is on the record, I'll turn this over to Ana Carita, but to flag that some committee members noted prior to discussion our service on boards that our board service for organizations that were applying for funding. And in those instances, during that time that we recused ourselves when conversation came around for that grant. So I was one of those members, given my board service, for SPAT and recuse myself, and will do so tonight if any questions or comments related to that grant proposal come up. So I just wanted that on the record before we begin. And so Anna Karita or Mike, I'll turn it over to you.
Now, I'd be happy to walk through the memo, and we do have a PowerPoint as well. First, I'd like to thank Anna Karita Allen. She was our chair of our review subcommittee. Anna Karita and Avi Rose and Tassian all provided guidance over three meetings that we hosted to review proposals that were qualified for the funding packet that's recommended in front of you tonight. As you see from the memo, starting on page 11 of the funding packet, of the meeting packet, OFCY is recommending, staff is recommending the full POC adopt the ad hoc review subcommittee's recommendation of 135 program grants totaling $17,817,382 for fiscal year 22-23. The OFCY provides grants on a three-year funding cycle. So the grants are for 1 year, and they'd be renewable in years 2 and 3 based on the Planning Oversight Committee's recommendation after review of performance in spring 2023. As you can see, the chart on the first page provides a breakdown of how the funding would be allocated across the four goal areas of OFCY, and these are the four legislated goals that are in the city charter: is to support the healthy development of young children, support children's success in school, help youth to reduce crime, violence, and gang involvement through, as we have, youth development and violence prevention. And goal area 4 is to help youth transition to a productive adulthood. There were 11 funding strategies in the request in the strategic investment plan that was developed, which forms the base for the request for proposals that went out. The request for proposals also highlighted career access and employment for youth in school for summer jobs as a sub-strategy. So there are 12 funding strategies that were employed in the request for proposal. I do have to say that it is a very challenging process with the funding that is available for OFCY compared to prior years. There is less funds available this cycle than there was 3 years ago for OFCY grant making. There's also an effort this year to increase grant sizes, the allowable maximum grant awards for agencies in recognition of the rising costs for staffing and services in our East Bay and Oakland. And there was an intentional outreach to new agencies to apply for funding. The legislation does call for an open and fair application process. So OFCY did release an RFP in January, and proposals were due February 22nd. At this time, I'm going to ask to jump to the PowerPoint, and we can walk through process and the funding recommendations before returning to the memo at the end. So thank you, Scott. Go to the next slide. As I said before, there's 11 funding strategies that were within the strategic investment plan, tied to the four main goal areas of OFCY. The RFP had a 12th strategy, career access and employment for youth in school for summer jobs as well, which is offered in partnership with the Oakland Workforce Development Board. And next slide. OFCY received 246 proposals by the deadline of February 22nd at 5 p.m. Proposals were submitted through an online data management system through CitySpan. The system would not allow any proposals to be received after 5 p.m. deadline. So these were all 246 received by deadline. there were 139 different agencies applying for funding. OFCY solicits bids from nonprofit agencies, government agencies, and allows for fiscally sponsored initiatives for programs that don't have a 501c3 status up yet. As you can see, 92% of the applicants were from nonprofit agencies, while 4% were from government agencies and 4% from fiscally sponsored initiatives. The RFP also designated three different types of applications. One was a single agency application. That means it's the one agency applying and they're proposing to do the bulk of the work directly themselves and receiving 50% or more of the funding to do that direct service work. 206 of the proposals were from single agency applicants. There were 25 applications received from small and emerging applicants, and these are for agencies with an annual budget of $500,000 or less, and to encourage new agencies, new programs by lowering the requirements for submission of audited financial statements and allowing for matching funds to be used by, to be in-kind funds as well, and the amount of funds to be received by the agency to rise up to 50% of the agency's overall annual budget. So 10% of the applicants are small and emerging. And the last category is for collaborations, which is for three or more agencies applying to work together, where all three are active in providing the services, substantially providing services, and that the lead agency would receive no more than 60% of the funding. So we received 6% or 15 applications on that. All told, there was, of the 246 proposals received by deadline, proposals requested $37 million, $37.827 million. That is more than $20 million above what is recommended for funding tonight. This is just a, we've shared this in prior POC meetings and Planning Oversight Committee meetings. I just want to go through it again, the selection process. This is also outlined in the request for proposals and was shared at the bidders conferences and the workshops on how to apply. So proposals needed to be provided and submitted online by deadline of February 22nd. The next process was a staff technical review for to make sure that the proposals received were complete and compliant. There were 17 proposals at that time that were disqualified that didn't provide complete proposals, complete applications, or were not compliant with the guidelines laid out in the request for proposal. Of those 229 proposals, those were moved on to a reviewer scoring process, which took place in March, where at least two reviewers read the proposals. In some strategies, we had three reviewers read them. There was an average score taken from the reviewers, and that was provided as the ranking for within each of the funding strategies. Proposals with scores of 70 and above were moved on to the next phase, which is the POC review subcommittee. As it says here, additional preference points were also assigned by the City of Oakland's Department of Workplace and Employment Standards, the Contracts Compliance Division. We received preference points for only two agencies based on the change in legislation for small local business enterprises. The POC review committee met three times. I believe these dates are accurate for that, where the review committee received overview of proposals received by each of the funding strategies, walked through each of the 12 funding strategies to consider the rankings based on the proposal score received within that strategy area, along with the OFCY's equity framework to direct funding specifically in support of African-American children, youth, and families per the equity framework. In addition to support Latinx children, youth, and families, there's a geographical consideration in the equity framework to direct funding for West Oakland, Central Oakland, and East Oakland, the flatland communities. And lastly, to support particularly vulnerable children and youth in Oakland, including LGBTQ children and youth, youth experiencing homelessness, youth in the foster care system, refugee and immigrant children and youth. So the review committee did look over 206 proposals, considered the scores.